sacred doctrine is not a science, right? Okay. Now, Thomas, in the reply to the objections, we'll see, is going to use the distinction that Aristotle has even in what? The human sciences, right? Okay? And show what sense is a science. Okay? It's not a science like geometry, but more like what? Astronomy. Yeah. When astronomy takes principles from geometry, and in astronomy it doesn't seem them to be true, but it takes them on the word of the geometer, right? And this is a science in that sense, right? Because it proceeds from things that are seen by God in his knowledge of himself and by the blessed to see God as he is, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? We take it from what they say. And we proceed, right? Now, the second objection. More of a science is not about what? Singulars, individuals, huh? But sacred doctrine treats about singulars. About the doings of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, huh? And likewise, ones like that. Therefore, sacred doctrine is not a science, huh? That's history. That's biography, right? We distinguish between history and biography and science, right? Huh? And Aristotle, you know, when he's in the book on the poetic art, he says that fiction is more philosophic than history, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason he gives is that philosophy is about the universal, history is about the, what, singular, right? And fiction is more about the universal than about the singular. So my stock example is that you see Romeo and Juliet, right? And you say, well, that's the way this, I don't know, 14th century, Verona, a couple were, you know? You say, no, that's the way young lovers are, right? Huh? Okay? And Oedipus the king there, you know. Someone said, he pointed out the, one of the critics there, when Oedipus's downfall comes, you know, the chorus comes in like kind of the commentary almost. It doesn't say, oh, Oedipus, but it says, oh, you generations of men, right? How miserable man is, right? How pathetic, how tragic man is, right? You see something universal in the downfall, right? Okay? And a man who's hesitant, they call even today a Hamlet, right? Okay? So, although you could say, in a sense, fiction is in between, right? It's kind of the universal singularized a bit and the singular universalized, right? But there's something, it's closer to the universal, right? Okay. So when I taught the love and friendship course, you know, I say, well, you all have an experience of love, and that's individual to you, right? And that's the starting point for our thinking about love, right? We're going to go from that individual knowledge you have of love, your own experience of love, to a very universal consideration of love by Thomas, right? We're going to go from one to the other through Shakespeare. Because Shakespeare, right, is closer to your experience of love than Thomas, right? But he's closer to Thomas than your experience of love. Because he's dealing more with the universal than in the love of men and women, huh? And so on. Okay. But against this is what Augustine says in the 14th book about the Trinity, which is my favorite book of Augustine, but anyway. Mm-hmm. I like that more than the Confessions, huh? So it's really my bent of mind. He's talking more about God, right? What did they say? It was the Dominicans, you know? A religious should talk either about God or to God. That's it. Now, Augustine says, to this science, and he calls it a science there, right? In Latin. Is attributed that by which, what? The most saving faith is, what? Engendered, right? Nourished, defended, what? Strengthened, right? And that's one of the famous definitions of theology, right? But notice that definition of Augustine here, of theology as a science there, you define it by what? Faith, right? Mm-hmm. As if it's there to defend faith and strengthen it and to dignity, to engender it in others, right? to nourish it in those who have it, to defend against the attacks, right? Strengthen it, right? Okay. A little different than that definition of that they get to St. Anselm, although it kind of goes back to Augustine too. Faith seeking understanding, right? It might give you the impression, you know, that definition, that faith is for the sake of that understanding that we seek, you know? But actually it's more the reverse, right? That theology is there to defend faith, right? To engender it, to nourish it, strengthen it, huh? You know? That theology is for the sake of faith, rather than faith is for the sake of what? Theology. Yeah. Kind of amazing there that Thomas, you know, points out later on in the Summa here that even in the human virtues there, natural understanding is higher than scientia. You know? Because it what is the beginning and the end of this, huh? Mm-hmm. We proceed from natural understanding, reason out knowledge, and we resolve all the way back to natural understanding. Huh? Mm-hmm. That's superior, right? Mm-hmm. And in a way, this is what we do in theology. We proceed from the faith and thinking about these things, and we turn back to the faith and to Scripture to see that we're makes sense. We haven't gone astray, right? Huh? Okay. So this pertains to no other science than sacred doctrine. Therefore, sacred doctrine is a science. Huh? Well, Thomas is going to say, well, in one sense it is a science, in another sense it is not. Right? Mm-hmm. So he's admitting some truth there in the first objection, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not the kind of science that sacred doctrine is. I answer that to be said that sacred doctrine is a science, huh? But it should be known that there is a twofold, what? Genus of science, right? Okay. Now, you know, if you didn't know that Aristotle had pointed out this distinction already, you might say, well, Thomas is just inventing a distinction here to save the scientific character of theology. But no, this is a distinction Aristotle himself had already made and seen, right? Huh? For some there are which proceed from principles known by the natural light of the understanding. Huh? And ones like arithmetic, right? And geometry, and ones of this sort. Notice he takes those as being the most clear examples, right? Okay. So a guy doesn't know Euclid, doesn't know, can't understand the examples being given here, right? Some are those which proceed from principles known by the light of a higher science, huh? As perspective proceeds from principles made known through what? Mm-hmm. Actually, the inverse square law in physics goes back to what? The theorems in Euclid. In music, from principles known what by arithmetic, huh? Okay. And in this way, sacred doctrine is a science, huh? Okay. So you have to see, make that distinction because it proceeds from beginnings known by the light of a higher what science, right? Now, what's that higher science? Is it arithmetic or geometry? What is it? From the science of God, and also in a way from the science of the what?
Blessed.
Yeah. Thomas is writing his exposition of the Epistle of St. Paul. And St. Paul came to him in the cell, right? He's supposed to come out and said, you'll never guess who I've been talking to. But that's getting in the horse's mouth, right? The old expression. Whence, just as music believes the beginnings handed over to it from arithmetic,